This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. We're turning our attention now to currency markets. The U.S. dollar is rallying on the back of expectations that the U.S. Federal Reserve will leave interest rates higher for longer. If we take a look at the U.S. dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of six major currencies, it is up about, some 4.6% this year and stands near its highest levels since early November.
So the strong greenback is a headache for Asian emerging markets, which have seen their currencies weaken against the dollar to varying degrees. The ringgit has dropped about 4%, while the Thai baht has fallen by about 6% on a year-to-date basis. The Bank of Indonesia even recently intervened to prop up the rupiah this week after it fell past 16,000 per dollar for the first time in 4 years. So how will currency weakness affect economic projections for Asian economies? And what tools do central banks have at their disposal to navigate the reign of King Dollar?
For more analysis on this, we have on the line with us Saktiandi Supaat, Head of FX Research and Global Markets for Maybank Group. Andy, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Can we start off with just getting a better understanding of what is accounting for this surge in US dollar strength? Is it down to one single factor, or is it a multitude of factors converging to supercharge the US dollar?
Yes, morning, Shazana, morning everyone. Thanks for inviting me to today's morning discussion. So yes, indeed, there's a confluence of things that's happening that has made it exacerbated the impact on the US dollar and also on emerging market currencies. Of course, first of all, would be the continuous surge in the US Treasury yields, which is a direct result of markets, for one, trying to price in the very strong US data and the strong inflation data that came out a week ago. And so markets are trying to price in the adjustment that they've actually believed that there will be a easing out of the Fed of about, you know, two or three or even four cuts this year. And I think they're pricing in currently only about two, or even some are talking about no cuts at all because of what the Fed and Fed officials have been talking about. So that's one. On the US front, the US Treasury yields have risen, and that has led to a bit of pressure in terms of rate differentials between the US and the emerging market currencies or countries outside of the US. Secondly, is I think the developments out of Middle East, that has led to a bit of risk sentiment being affected globally and concerns of being cautious. So as a result, safe haven currencies, and the dollar is one safe haven currency. Mm. And as a result, the support for the dollar sort of materializes and strengthens as a result. So that, and then you layer that with concerns about China, I think even fixing, which has been the stalwart for renminbi, their fixing has actually moved a bit weaker. So that has actually sort of weakened sort of the currencies outside of the US to some extent. So a confluence of things, and I think we need that to sort of dissipate to somewhat see some reprieve out of the currencies in globally as well.
Okay, but in the meantime, emerging market currencies are taking a hit. Which are particularly vulnerable to US dollar strength and why? I mean, for the first time in 4 years, we did see Bank of Indonesia actually intervene.
So I like I mentioned just now, I think what central banks in the region or I think in general will look at the pace of the currency movements or the volatility. And I think what's key for central banks is not just reacting to the markets. My view is I think they want to make sure that the currencies don't go out of line with fundamentals, because at the end of the day, central banks want to make sure there's some stability, want to make sure the rakyat or the people are not affected drastically by sharp moves in currency, and also for businesses, because businesses want currencies to be stable to some extent. So I think they want to make sure that the currency doesn't move too rapidly. And that's why I think some of the central banks are coming in to make sure the volatility or the sharp moves is not so sharp. Mm. But I just want to highlight that you mentioned just now certain moves of currencies. Most currencies have weakened. So essentially, if everybody moves relative to the dollar on a trade-weighted basis in terms of buying or selling of goods and services, it doesn't drastically affect because everybody moves. The question is on a relative basis, which one moves more or not. And I think whether one moves more or not is reflective of how their interest rate differentials are, idiosyncratic issues, and also in the sense how exposed they are to from bond foreign investors exposure to bonds and their equity within the countries as well.
Okay, can we look at Japanese yen? It's down the most, almost, 8.6% on a year-to-date basis.
Yeah.
How much pressure are they feeling? Or actually, are they quite happy because a weak yen helps with their equity markets and also exports?
Yeah, indeed. So, like I mentioned, I mentioned at the start, there's a confluence of things. Mm. One of those confluence, the safe haven story, to some extent does help the yen. So I think the yen being a bit more liquid globally, highly liquid currency, tradable. Some in the past, yen used to be a safe haven currency. So there is some extent of that. But indeed, there is some concerns about when the Bank of Japan will start on their guidance on their hikes that will come on stream for this year. Our expectation is, I think there's going to be a hike, but towards the later part of the year. And another one probably somewhere in 2025. So until they do that, I think there would become a bit of a fluctuation or volatility, a weakness on the yen front relative to the dollar. So in terms of relative to the dollar, it's a function of when the Fed moves. And I think there could be continued pressure on the Japanese yen until they provide some guidance on their hiking sort of trajectory towards the end of. So I think there will be some pressure on the yen. But there could be stability because a job warning by the Japanese officials will try to make sure the Japanese yen do not depreciate too rapidly. It has actually seen some reprieve, actually has seen some retracement back from that 154 levels that we've seen.
And what about other ASEAN central banks, Andy? I mean, how does currency weakness complicate their monetary policy making, especially given the US Fed holding rates higher for longer? Does this put pressure on them to actually raise rates as well at a time when perhaps people are expecting them to hold or cut?
Yeah, so this topic can be quite lengthy. I think the currency weakness in general complicates monetary policy making, actually. In general, especially for the regional central banks, I don't envy them. It's not easy. First, they have to manage inflation. So currency weakness can actually lead to imported inflation, as we know. Mm. So cost of imported goods and all that will rise. So I think the task of a central bank is actually to maintain price stability. So if they tighten to curb inflation, it could obviously risk slowing down economic growth. So I think they got to balance that off. Second is the interest rate front. For those that are setting interest rates, I think the MAS in Singapore is separate. They look at exchange rate. Mm. If they raise interest rates to stabilize the currency and prevent further depreciation, it could actually dampen domestic consumption and investment. So that will affect economic growth. But actually, on the other side, if they lower interest rates, which many were expecting to do after the Fed, it could stimulate growth, accelerate, but it could exacerbate, actually worsen the currency weakness. It could reduce the attractiveness of domestic currency for investors. So that's second, the interest rate dilemma. They have the interest rate dilemma. They have inflation management. And now we're seeing volatility. Currency weakness can actually trigger volatile capital flows. We're not seeing extensive currency weakness now, thankfully, which I think will, in our baseline, we don't think so will happen. But if they do see the investors might start withdrawing funds, so concerns about central banks intervening in the markets to stabilize the currency, it's something that may come in as a measure, and they could deplete their foreign exchange reserve. So those are the sort of things. But in addition, they also have concerns because some central banks, not in the region but globally, they have foreign currency denominated debt, so that can pose financial risk stability and broader economy concerns and debt dynamics issues as well. But what I'm concerned about is in terms of importance of exchange rate policy transmission.
Okay.
Because exchange rate plays a crucial role, actually.
Andy, last question on the ringgit in the minute or so that we have left. What's your view on it?
Our ringgit view, I think, remains unchanged. We actually think continue to hold a view of a gradual downward trend for dollar ringgit remaining in place for 2024 because I know markets have been pricing in the fact that from the 4 to the 3 and now concerns about 0. We still hold the view that I think the Fed will still cut. Our house view is around still about 2 to 3 cuts this year, but maybe a bit towards the latter part of this year. On that basis, we think that there'll be a gradual downtrend for dollar ringgit remaining in place over 2024. And I think that could be leading to a dollar ringgit actually eventually ending at about 4.55. We're looking at dollar ringgit eventually now in the second quarter still hovering around 4.70 to 4.75 range, and then down to 4.65 by third quarter, and then end the year about 4.55. We think fundamentals for Malaysia still continue to underpin and support the ringgit because I think fundamentals remain robust, and we think the export outlook, barring any shocks globally, would actually lead to further support for the ringgit. And I think, bear in mind, oil prices, when it reached 90 and above, it actually could be slightly supportive of the ringgit as well. So I think, in summary, in short, yeah, because we have 1 minute, that is our view on the ringgit for now, based on our baseline assumptions.
Thank you so much, Andy. That was Sakti Andy Supaat, head of FX research for global markets at Maybank Group, giving us his outlook for currency markets as we contend with King Dollar. It's 7:49 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, but we'll come back to discuss sugar consumption in the country. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.